The ship was the USS Reina Mercedes, captured from the Spanish in the Spanish-American War. It was cemented to the bottom of the Severn River alongside the dock at the Naval Academy and served as a station ship. When midshipmen received heavy punishment for breaking the regulations, they spent time on the ship. They attended all classes and drills, but were quartered and pressed and messed on the Reina Mercedes and had no shore leave for a specified number of days. It was much worse punishment than walking the bull ring with a gun on Saturday afternoon, the usual form of punishment for relative minor infraction. You may want to knock off at this
point. Okay, let me ask you two questions and then we will, because I have a feeling that my wife will be here in just a few minutes if she hadn't already. A couple of questions concerning Patuxent. You said that there were four commanders, four independent commands there at Patuxent. And I got the impression that they were all responsible to different commands or different sources. Did this cause any problems, any conflicts within the command?
No, I think it worked out very well. Our missions were clearly stated, and there was no confusion, no overlapping.
There was a clear delineation of responsibilities.
A caretaker provided the services, mm-hmm. and each command had its own separate quarters, own separate headquarters, squadron, hangars, and everything was just so. They could have been separated, or they could have been, but they had to be together. Somehow.
So you weren't really using the same physical facilities as far as hangars,
Officers
runways,
Club.
And things of that nature are concerned.
Officers' Club. Mm-hmm. It was, and commissary, and. Support facilities.
But it was just the support facilities and not such things as your hangars and the runways?
No, we all had our separate. Mm-hmm. Of course, the air station had responsibility keeping up the hardware and the buildings and whatnot.
What I was thinking of, I could envision, say, if you were all using the same runways, that some...
Well, we all use the same runway. That's true. But we all had outlined fields, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if there was need for them.
I see. Well, secondly, when you replaced Gurney as commander of Flog Wings, this constituted a simple change of command for him. It was not a mark against his career by them removing him rather quickly as a result.
I think it was all on the cuff, personally, because undoubtedly when my predecessor had not been ordered, did not call for collateral duty as deputy commander, Fleet Logistic Air Wing, as my order did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could act for Gurney in his absence.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that since Gurney was supposed to be soon due for relief, he'd been in there a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
ever since its inception, mm-hmm. of Flog Wing, that I would probably be the logical man to relieve him,
mm-hmm.
step up after 1 year.
Well, what I was meant, the rather suddenness with which he was
well,
relieved.
Well, there's no doubt it was sudden. I mean, they were upset. But those things, after all, I mean, he stopped off at a game, but he had cargo destined for that location, too. He covered his tracks.
I think we all do that occasionally.
He covered his tracks pretty well, but he was not a stickler. But Gurney had a fine record, and he got a CVE after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were together up at Tacoma. Mm-hmm. We were both.
So he wasn't being reprimanded in any way.
He was given a He was given a major command, better command after that.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't think it was any... I tried to bring it out, I mean, in there, about what a capable officer he was.
Right.
He's alive, by the way, and his son is a rear admiral.
Okay.
He's quite a character, he really was. I mean, he is one of those unforgettable people to run into.
This is end of interview number 6.